Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
This is the Bloody Disgusting Podcast Network.
No. This is Creepy, a podcast dedicated to sharing the most famous, chilling, and disturbing creepypastas and urban legends in the world. Whether these stories truly happened or are simply fabrications is for you to decide. These stories may contain graphic depictions of violence and explicit language. Listener discretion is advised.
Creepy presents 50-Foot Ant's first story. Credited to 50-Foot Ant on Something Awful and narrated by Atticus Jackson.
Chapter 15.
Lewis! I shouted as he disappeared into the snow. God damn it, Lewis!
Nagel and I ran forward as a loud scream sounded out and skidded to a stop at the door. Lewis was still screaming, and the wind blew the snow into our faces from out of the darkness. Rich, deep laughter, full of something that made goosebumps raise on my back, rolled out of the darkness and over us, audible even over the screaming. Nagel and I looked at each other, and Nagel's eyes were wide with her pupils open. She looked vulnerable suddenly, and the idea of tough as nails, smart as a whip Nagel frightened chilled me even more. Nagel had been a rock to lean on since she'd gotten to the unit, and like John, she'd been there during my divorce, had been there when I was so hurt, and had held me as I cried from the pain and the agony that filled me. She was tough, had 4 years in the military before I even met her, and was braver than hell, willing to back me up when even some of the others wouldn't be there. Her being frightened made something in me turn small and afraid. Lewis screamed again, a sound of agony, and Nagel bit her lower lip as she looked at me. "Stay here," I told her, and she nodded, and got down on my hands and knees and started to crawl into the snow. Less than 10 feet into the snow, and I felt the edge of the loading dock. Lewis was screaming louder now, or maybe I was just closer to him. I slid off the loading dock, squinting my eyes as the snow blew into my face and numbed my cheeks, earlobes, and nose. I knelt down and crawled forward, reaching out with my hands. Lewis's screams jangled my nerves, and my imagination conjured the guy in the cold weather mask using a blade on him, carving on him with a bayonet, carving his eyes out. My hand bumped something, and Lewis screamed even louder when I grabbed it in the darkness and pulled on it, right when my brain identified it as a shoe. He kept screaming, sobbing screams of animal agony as I moved up the leg. It was bent wrong, and I could feel something sharp and hard underneath the cold weather pants he was wearing. Moving further up him, he grabbed my wrist, first trying to bat my hands away, then grabbing onto me and pulling on me. "For fuck's sake, stop screaming!" I yelled, grabbing him by the chest.
"My fucking legs! Oh god, my fucking legs!"
he screamed. I moved behind him, grabbing his collar, and started to drag him back the way I'd come. He was screaming, begging me not to move him, pleaded with the simple, "Don't!" as I first drug him around and then pulled him through the snow. The loading dock should be behind me. I kept pulling, through the darkness and snow, bent over and dragging Lewis, who lapsed into silence by the third step. I knew his legs were twisted around, but there wasn't shit I could do about it. Another little sliding half-step, the wind trying to knock me over. I couldn't hear shit and started to lose where I was. I couldn't be too far from the loading dock, could I? I only crawled forward for a few moments. Lewis couldn't have gone that far off the dock before he hit and broke his legs, could he? He couldn't have crawled far on those legs, could he? Another step, and still nothing behind me. Was I heading the wrong way? Was I going to suddenly lose my balance and fall backwards, to roll down the hill and vanish into the woods? Was I crossing the parking lot away from the building instead of toward it? Had I killed us both? Where was the goddamn loading dock? Another step, leaning back, and my ass hit something solid, bouncing me forward. I lost my balance in the dark and the wind. I pitched forward, landing partially on Lewis, and my hand hit something soft right before I went face first into the pavement with a bright white flash. Lewis jerked and screamed, punching me in the side, and I accidentally kneed him as I pulled myself to my feet, keeping hold on his collar. He screamed weakly and stopped. I slid my arms underneath him and lifted, my teeth pounding and making my eyes water. I heaved him up on the loading dock, and he rolled out of my arms, screaming and flailing. He backhanded me across the face, and my knees went out, making me collapse on the ground. I twitched, confused, trying to figure out where I was. I pulled myself up. Lewis's scream reminded me, and I climbed up after him and squatted down, digging my hands into his collar.
Nancy!
I yelled. I knew my voice was a half-hysterical scream. I had to find Nancy.
Aunt!
I heard, but couldn't tell which way it came from, the wind whipping it around me and pulling it away.
Nancy!
I screamed, pulling Lewis against the building. I couldn't feel my fingers or feet, and my face was completely numb. Only sparks of pain where my ears should be. Somehow things seemed to have gotten darker, and my mouth was raw in tolerable agony. I reached out and touched the wall, then began pulling Lewis to the right with one hand, knowing that it couldn't be too far until I hit the end of the loading dock. I moved slowly so I didn't pitch over backwards and break my head on the asphalt. "You've killed both of you, you idiot," hissed through my brain, but I shook it off and took another step backwards. If he came at me right then in the snow, he'd fuck me up. Probably kill Lewis too before I'd even knew he was there. My brain summoned him up coming out of the darkness at me, stabbing me in the kidneys, grabbing me and slitting my throat, burying an axe in Lewis and then me, pushing me backwards down the hill and letting the snowstorm take care of me. Suddenly, I realized that I'd been standing there in the dark and snow, unmoving, while my brain played out all the ways the guy could kill us. A hand clawed out of the darkness, grabbing my collar and pulling me. I screamed, batting at it with one hand as I tried to drag Lewis away with the other, trying to lunge away from the hand and into the safe concealment of the snowstorm. But the hand had a hold on my collar too hard and drug me toward the owner of it. Struggling with one hand against my attacker, I was pulled into the hallway, out of the snow, and into the light of Nagel's flashlight. She was staring at me, her cold weather cap pulled down to hide her auburn hair, and she pulled me close. I threw my arms around her, shivering with cold and relief, and held on to her tight.
"Don't ever do something that stupid ever again,"
she growled into my ear, hugging me tightly.
"I got him. I got him, Nancy."
I kept repeating, holding tight to her.
"I found him out there."
"Drag him in,"
she ordered, letting me go. I nodded dimly, bent down and grabbed him before staggering a few more steps back, pulling him across the wet floor. In the light of Nagel's flashlight, I saw that he was leaving a streak on the floor and that both of his legs were twisted wrong. I managed to get him clear, and Nagel slammed the door shut with a boom before turning back to us. I kept dragging Lewis back, dimly trying to get him away from the doorway, not really sure where I was going. When I looked up and saw the yawning opening of the furnace room, I jerked back, dropping Lewis. I could smell decay thickly, and something moved further in the darkened room. An inhuman roar rolled out of the doorway and hammered at me. I screamed, backing away from the wide opening where some unimaginably large creature was roaring. Nagel appeared in front of me, shaking me, and I tried to fight her off for a moment, my head swimming and sparks shooting across my vision. She shined her flashlight in my eyes, then snapped it off with a curse.
"Sit here,"
she told me in the darkness, pulling me down to the floor. I nodded and went limp, aware of how nice it was that the wind was gone, how warm it was getting in the stairwell. I felt like I was burning up, and bright sparks appeared in my vision as I sat in the darkness. There was a tooth-jarring, whining noise, and I looked up blearily, my fingers fumbling on the buttons for my jacket. Nagel was putting on another hasp with the drill, and while I watched, she tossed the drill into the darkness and pulled the door shut, cutting off the roar of the beast in the darkness of the room. I'd managed to get the jacket open, and was trying to get out of it when Nagel finished snapping new padlocks onto the hasps. By the time she turned around, I'd stripped off my shirt, panting with the heat that filled the hallway. Nagel turned around and stared at me for a moment, and leaned down and lifted my head up, shining the flashlight in my eyes. She pulled my shirt back down, her mouth opening and closing and making strange noises that I couldn't understand. I tried to fight while she pulled my jacket back onto me, buttoning it up, paying no attention to me trying to tell her I was hot, that it was too hot in the hallway. I closed my eyes. Out of the blue, she slapped me, the back of her hand biting into my broken teeth and splitting back open my lips. My eyes popped open and I reached for her, but she batted my hands aside and stood up.
"On your feet!"
she bellowed, and I jumped up, swaying for a moment, the urge to punch her in the face blowing away the sleepiness. I shivered for a second in the cold and stared at her.
"Grab him up, soldier!"
she snapped. I glared at her.
"Now!"
Feeling anger dully pulse at my temples, I bent down and picked Lewis up, still glaring at the woman in front of me. She snorted and turned away, heading up the set of stairs. She turned and looked at me, then barked,
"March!"
I followed her up, glaring at her back as she called out the steps. She held open the door and I followed her into the dark hallway, lit only by the flashlight she was carrying in her hands. Once we hit the double doors, she held them open long enough for me to stagger through with my burden.
"March, soldier!"
she snapped at me, and I snarled at her as we headed down the hallway, passing open doors where wind and snow was blowing in the rooms beyond. The next double doors were held long enough for me to get through, and the wind almost knocked me over, making me stagger, but I followed her to the next door.
"Open the hell up!"
The woman. Was she an officer? Who the hell was she? Who the fuck did she think she was, screaming orders at me? She wasn't even in my chain of command. Bellowed, hammering on the doors. The doors opened up, and the woman pulled me through and into the room.
"Set him on the table,"
she told me, and I nodded jerkily. The woman was familiar, but I couldn't quite put my finger on it. I staggered over to an empty table and set the guy I was carrying down on it. The woman grabbed my arm and pulled me over, sitting me down in a chair.
"Aunt, do you recognize me?"
she asked, flashing a light in my eyes. I winced, mumbling at the pain.
"Aunt, do you know who I am?"
she asked again, and I shook my head.
Doing that was a mistake,
as I suddenly leaned forward and threw up on the floor, my head swimming. I would have fallen forward except for someone was holding on to me, holding me while each heave caused pain to explode in my head. I was vaguely aware I was shivering while someone was holding on to me. Someone wrapped something warm around me, and I shivered as I suddenly became aware I was freezing. I was being guided up, and after a few stumbling steps, I was aware of hands laying me down on something hard.
"Keep him awake. I gotta make sure Lewis survives,"
a woman said, her voice tearing into my ears and scrambling my brains. Sparks shot through my vision again, and I was aware I was shaking under the blanket someone had just put down over me. I kept trying to go to sleep, to let the warmth and darkness pull at me, but every time I tried, I got jerked back to half-wakefulness by lights in my face, being shaken, which made me almost heave all over again. Someone was screaming, and I could hear someone else shout, "Hold him! God damn it!" over the screams. Then, the screams finally broke off, and I was glad that whoever it was finally shut up. My clothing was stripped off, and I was wrapped with a warm blanket that felt like someone had wrapped me in warm clouds. When the damp cloth touched my face, I tried to push the hands away, mumbling through my swollen lips and broken teeth.
"Hold him down!"
I heard a voice, Nagel's voice, order, and hands grabbed my arms and legs. I felt swiping motions on my face, and I was finally able to open my eyes when the cloth passed over them. There were lights set up, and the room, even though it was dim, was bright enough it made my eyes water. Nagel was wiping my face off with a hand towel that was covered in blood.
"Nancy,"
I managed to push past my broken teeth.
"Welcome back, Aunt,"
she said, stepping back.
"Can you sit up?"
I grunted and used an offered hand to pull myself up, ignoring the way my head swam and my stomach heaved. I swung my legs off and stared at the floor, waiting for it to stop moving. After a few moments, I stood up, my bare feet striking the cold tile floor. I got dressed quickly, pulling on my damp Levi's and my shirts.
"Sit down, Aunt,"
Jacobs told me, coming over to me while I was lacing up my combat boots.
"How's Lewis?"
I asked, staggering over to the chair I wanted and sitting down.
"Nagel saved him,"
Jacobs told me. I grunted and reached out to touch Balmer's forehead. He was still running hot, his skin slick with sweat.
"He broke both of his legs. What the hell happened down there?"
"He fell off the loading dock,"
I answered, probing at my broken teeth with my tongue.
"Who's out there?"
Jacobs asked.
"How should I know?"
I snarled. Why the fuck wouldn't he go talk to someone else? I wanted to sit next to my best friend. Fuck everyone else.
"Aunt, I want you to get some rest,"
Nagel said, coming over and putting her hand on my shoulder.
"I'm all right,"
I lied. The sparks were gone and my vision had settled down, even though the dim light made everything past a few paces kind of fuzzy. She held up three fingers.
"How many?"
"Three," I answered. She nodded and smiled.
"Hold still. You got something on your lip,"
she told me. She leaned forward and kissed my lower lip, and when she pulled back, I could see that she had blood on hers.
"That hurt?"
"Nope," I lied again, smiling.
"All right. I need you to stay here. Watch Balmer and Lewis,"
she told me, then stood up.
"Listen up. We gotta shut some of the doors and windows, or we're not making it through the night."
"Who put you in charge?"
Daniel snarled.
"Nobody. If you don't want to go, then stay in here with Aunt and Lewis,"
she snapped.
"Or any of you gonna come with me?"
"I will,"
Hernandez answered.
"I'm with you, Nagel,"
Jacobs threw in.
"I got your back,"
Carter finished, walking over and picking up an axe.
"I'm in,"
I said, standing up.
"The fuck you are,"
Nagel told me, grabbing my arm. She tried to steer me to a table where a few blankets were spread out.
"Get some sleep."
"No,"
I answered, shaking her hand off my arm.
Ant.
Nagel tried.
No. He killed my fucking best friend.
I stared at her.
Give me my knife.
She looked doubtful, but took my knife off of her belt and handed it to me. I clipped it to mine and stared at her.
What's your plan?
I asked.
We go out, shut the windows and doors on this floor and the hallway doors. We've got to cut down the wind or we're going to freeze to death before morning.
She told me, then looked beyond me.
Ready?
The others told her that they were, and I nodded. Everyone turned on flashlights. I dropped mine into my top pocket of my Levi jacket, and Nagel moved over to the door.
Stay together. Don't go charging off and watch carefully.
Nagel told them.
This guy is strong. He's fast, and he's willing to kill.
I heard Daniel scoff in the darkness and had to restrain an urge to get back there and cut his fucking throat. Nagel opened the door, our flashlight beams lighting up the platoon area in front of us. The room beyond was full of wind-driven snow, and I blinked my eyes, trying to keep the snow out of them.
Let's go,
Nagel said, heading toward the hallway door. I stumbled after and told myself it was the wind pushing me off balance.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Chapter 16.
Why is this one shut?
Jacobs asked, reaching toward the door handle.
Don't.
I told him, grabbing his wrist. I looked at the door. The shiver that ran through me had nothing to do with the biting cold.
Aren't you going to check this room?
Jacobs asked, glaring at me and snatching his hand free.
Nagel said check every room. Jacobs, you don't want to go in there.
Carter said, stepping away from the door. I followed suit, watching as Jacobs looked at each of us.
What the fuck is in there?
Jacobs asked, following when Carter and I headed into the next room to close the windows.
We don't know.
Carter answered, shutting the windows. There was no use taking the blankets on the beds. I could tell with a single glance. Water had been poured on the beds, turning the blankets into solid ice. It had been the same way in every room, clothing piled on the floor with water poured on them, the beds soaked sometimes before. It was a standard tactic of warfare, deny the enemy supplies and material. When we closed the door, Carter swung the axe and knocked the handle off. I pushed at it, but like the others so far, it didn't budge. Behind us, there was a knock at the door. All of us spun around and stared at the featureless door, only the room number and the door handle breaking up the expanse of brown paint. There was another knock from inside the room, hard enough to shake the entire door. Jacobs reached out his hand to open it, and Carter grabbed him before I could.
You don't want to do that,
he told the other man.
Come on, let's just finish the rest of this section.
I could tell Jacobs wanted to ask about it, ask why we didn't go into the room or check it at all, but he closed his mouth and followed when we went to the next room. Hernandez and Nagel were down on the other end of the hallway doing the same thing we were, closing windows and doors and knocking the door handles off. Deny the enemy. I glanced back over my shoulder at room 221 when the knocking sounded again. Fuck that room. A little more work and we met up with Nagel and Hernandez, Nagel holding the axe and glaring around at the ice glittering on the walls. Hernandez was dragging a mattress with other mattresses piled on it.
We lucked out. He missed a couple of mattresses, and I managed to find some blankets and sleeping bags,
Nagel said.
We need to get back. I need to check on Bomber and Lewis.
I nodded, leaning against the wall. The whole front of my face hurt.
Why can't we just go looking for him?
Jacobs asked, looking around.
Because he's one step ahead of us the whole way,
Nagel answered.
He's thought this through. He knows the people he's stalking, and he knows that some of our first instincts will be to go on the offensive.
She looked at each of us, her gaze lingering on me a moment longer.
He's not stupid enough to forget he's hunting trained soldiers,
she finished. I nodded dumbly and followed when she started heading back.
We're down to 2 men, 3 if you count Ant. He's killed 4 men as far as we know, and we're cut off and isolated.
She paused at the doors to the platoon area and looked at all of us.
And every time we've charged after him, we've come out second best.
She banged on the door, but nobody answered. She hammered on the door again.
Open the goddamn door!
She shouted, banging on it. Still nothing.
Open the goddamn door or I'll kick it down!
She bellowed, hammering on the door, this time with the haft of the axe. Still nothing.
Fuck this. Ant, kick it in.
She snarled, and I stepped forward. The door whipped open, and Daniel stood there, holding onto the axe and staring at us wild-eyed.
Get in, for fuck's sake! Hurry up!
He yelled, staring past us.
What?
Nagel asked, coming in. She grabbed his face when he didn't answer.
What happened?
I ignored them, moving up next to Bomber, and stared at him. When I touched his face, his eyes opened.
Hey, Ant.
He smiled.
How you feeling, John?
I asked. His skin was flushed, sweaty, and burning hot.
Not too bad.
My stomach hurts pretty bad, though, he told me. Behind me, Daniels was telling Nagel that someone had been laughing and hammering on the doors, mocking him and trying to lure him out by being quiet. Another guy had kicked at the doors, laughing at him.
Your appendix burst,
I told him.
Fuck! I've got...
He paused for a second, and I expected him to lapse into delirium again, but he continued after a moment.
Maybe 8 days from when it burst. Where did you get that idea?
I asked.
My dad. He didn't know what was wrong with him, and my grandmother didn't take him to the doctor for 8 days.
John told me. He coughed and groaned.
You all right? Your face looks like hell.
That's how I normally look, I answered, and he laughed.
Aunt, help me up. I really got a shit,
he told me.
When I helped him up,
Nagel immediately came over, yelling at me to lay him back down. It took a minute of arguing, but she agreed to let me take him to the bathroom. I stood next to him while he took care of business, then helped him back out into the main room. He was breathing hard, but he'd managed to straighten up most of the way.
You catch that fucker who hit me with the axe?
He asked. Yeah, he's the one who did this to my face, I answered. The mattresses had been pulled to different spots. Lewis laying on one, and Nagel was sitting on where 2 of them had been pushed together along with a pile of blankets. Daniels was over by the door, sitting on the floor with an axe in his hands.
Come on, let's get some rest,
I told him, guiding him over to Nagel. He nodded, crying out when he laid down, and Nagel made me lay behind him, then piled the blankets on us and slid underneath, wrapping her arms around me from behind.
I've got you, Aunt,
she whispered.
I'm not going anywhere. I love you.
I told her.
I know, Aunt,
she said, hugging me. I dozed off, exhausted, my face throbbing. I'd barely gotten any sleep, and for the first time in as long as I can remember, nobody kept waking me up and shining lights into my eyes.
Metal clinging against metal woke me,
and I sat awake, yelling out, "Gas! Gas! Gas!" and grabbing for a mask that wasn't there. Adrenaline flooded my system, and I held my breath as I fumbled at my waist. Just a second before, I'd been struggling through fire and death. And the next second, I was trying to get a mask on before the lethal toxins burned out my life in 19 seconds flat. The clinging noise was coming from the radio on the table.
Nagel!
I hissed, reaching down and shaking her.
Don't jerk off, Aunt. I'm not horny.
She mumbled, rolling over.
On your feet!
I bellowed out, climbing up. Balmer and Lewis both screamed as they tried to answer ingrained habit and get up. Balmer managed to get all the way to his feet, standing there swaying, while Lewis grabbed his leg, sobbing in pain. Everyone else jumped to their feet, and I could tell that the clanging hadn't penetrated anyone's mind but mine. I moved over and grabbed my jacket, pulling it on quickly, and turned around, making sure my knife was on my belt.
He gets in there and kills our generator. We're dead,
Nagel said, standing up. Her nipples stood out from her t-shirt, and I had an image of nuzzling them with my nose flash through my mind.
Who's coming with me?
I asked, buttoning up my jacket and grabbing one of the cold weather caps.
I'm with you,
Jacob said.
I'll beat that motherfucker's ass. Aunt, stay here,
Nagel said, pulling on her fluffy jacket.
Stay with John and Lewis.
No, no, you stay back. They need you more. I told her. She opened her mouth and then glanced at Balmer, who was pulling on his pants.
John, you need to lay down or you might tear something up in there.
She said softly, moving over to him and touching him. John looked up, his face pale with red spots on his cheeks. His eyes were glassy.
Gonna help. Not down yet.
He slurred. You could see the fever burning in him.
I'm with you, brother,
Hernandez said, pulling on the parka.
Balmer, I need you to protect Nancy and Lewis in case he loops around,
I said, and Balmer nodded.
Let's go,
I said, and Hernandez unlocked the door and pulled it open. Outside of the door, a figure loomed, arms outstretched, leaning toward the door. Jacob stepped forward, swinging the axe he was holding, the heavy bit striking the figure in the chest with a solid thunk as the axe went home. Snow exploded outward, and Jacob stumbled forward, cursing. The snowman's head fell off, the BDU soft cap plopping into the snow, and we stood there for a second, staring at the snowman that Jacobs had just taught not to fuck with him.
What the fuck was that?
Jacobs yelled.
He's fucking with us. It's supposed to scare us,
I said, moving past the snowman's remains and scooping up the BDU cap. E3 rank.
We need to hurry.
Jacobs pushed past me, slogging through the snow that had blown in through the broken windows of the platoon area, his feet kicking up sprays in my flashlight. He pushed through the doors and into the hallway, and I hurried to catch up with him.
Jacobs!
I called out, and the other man slowed down, the axe swinging from his hand as he walked. The second floor landing is covered in ice and blood, so watch out.
Ice, yeah,
Jacob sneered. Anything else you want to tell me before we kill this asshole?
Be careful, and let's try to sneak up on him,
I told him. Jacob scoffed as we approached the double doors. He pushed through and pulled open the door to the stairwell. The blood glittered darkly, and I tried to ignore it. Jacobs hurried down the steps, rushing ahead, the axe held in both hands. We went past the first floor, the banging of our friendly barrack psycho covering our approach. Jacobs didn't pause at the next landing, swinging around and stepping forward. He was grinning as he went down the first step. And hit the wire across the step. The ice on the wall broke away as his foot caught the wire, and he yelled as he pitched forward, throwing out his hands to catch himself, the axe vanishing into the darkness of the stairwell.
Jacobs!
I yelled, Hernandez echoing me as I moved down the stairs. The banging quit. In the beam of my flashlight, Jacobs landed face first on the floor, stunned, his legs twitching. Two steps, still yelling for him. And it happened. Jacobs had just lifted his head up, one hand reaching forward, his foot still kicking as he tried to get purchase. I was four steps down, risking taking two icy steps at a time. Hernandez was right behind me, trying to get to Jacobs and help him up. I thought the guy would take the chance to run, to disappear back into the snowstorm again. Throw the axe, swirl around, grab the D-ring off the door, and vanish into the blizzard to taunt us further. I was wrong. The axe blurred out of darkness, coming from high up, through the doorway, the frost on it sparkling in my flashlight. I could see the sharp edge of the axe. Red motor pool. 2/19 SW on the handle. See the heavy gloves wrapped around the end of the axe handle. It was frozen in time for a long second. Right before it hit Jacobs just below the neck, dead center in the back, the sound of the axe biting through flesh and shearing through the bone obscenely loud in the windy hallway. Jacob's feet jerked and his head scrabbled at the tile. I was yelling in denial, trying to move faster through the molasses that had seemed to crystallize around me. Hernandez was yelling Jacob's name, both of us trying to get down the stairs. The hands released the axe handle, and the wind shrieked around us, matching Jacob's strangled scream. My feet hit the landing and I jumped over Jacob's, seeing the figure ahead of me in the beam of the flashlight clipped to my jacket pocket. Once again, he had on the cold weather mask, NVGs, a parka, and heavy gloves. His Mickey Mouse boots squeaked as he pivoted. A perfect rear march, my brain told me, and he reached his hand out for the D-ring hanging off the door.
Nagel, we need you down here!
I bellowed in the split second I made my decision. I spun around, jumping past Jacobs, pushing Hernandez out of my way, brushing his hands off when he tried to grab me.
Don't leave us, Ant!
Hernandez yelled as I ran up the stairs.
Come back!
Followed me as I spun around the landing line that the guy had wired and pounded up the first floor.
God damn it, Ant, you coward!
Chased me as I kicked open the door, grabbing the door jamb to give me speed. I shouldered through the double doors and ran down the hallway, my knife tight in my hand, my boots thudding against the snow-covered tile. I snatched open the door of the first stairwell and I jumped from the top of the stairs, hitting the landing and bouncing off the far wall to jump again, landing with both feet on the bottom. I yanked open the door to the orderly room, and my flashlight swung across the door on the far side, revealing it to be wide open. With a D-ring attached to 550 cord on the handle. I walked in, smiling wide enough I could feel my lips split. The wind was pushing snow into the orderly room hallway, slicing across my cheeks and making my teeth throb painfully. The 550 cord was shivering, pulling tightly. I stepped up in front of the doorway, resting one hand on the chalked open door, the other holding tight to my girber. With the toe of my boot, I lifted up the chalk, holding the door open. He stepped out of the snow, lit by the flashlight, and his eyes opened wide at seeing me standing there. One eye was swollen shut, the other bloodshot, and I could see his teeth bared in a snarl. I made sure that he could see the knife in my hand. Made sure he could see me bare my teeth in a smile.
Miss me?
I asked.
For more information, including pictures and videos of the stories told on this podcast, or to suggest stories for future episodes, please visit us at CreepyPod on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, or email us at creepypod@gmail.com. All stories told on this podcast can be found at creepypastawikia.com and are protected by a Creative Commons license, some rights reserved unless otherwise stated.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.